Thank you, everlasting God. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Thank you very much. Let's appreciate the worship team. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Please go with me very quickly to 2 Chronicles. And I read from chapter 20, verse 2 to 12. It's a little bit long, but just follow me as I follow Christ. 2 Chronicles 20, starting from verse 2. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Verse 4. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord God of fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Verse 7, are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, hear the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you are giving to us to inherit. Verse 12, O God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. May God bless the reading of his words. That was in the Old Testament. That was in the Old Testament. And the idea then was to build a temple and go in there to seek the face of the Lord. In the New Testament, Jesus had come. And we have been told that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's why in this month, we have been looking at looking unto Jesus. Yes, we combine the two. At times we come to the temple, we come to a sanctuary like ours, but in every aspect of our life, in every situation, we are supposed to be looking unto Jesus, because as we know, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so this month, we need to cap up this particular discussion. This being the last Sunday in the month of July. We actually started with Reverend Bola Dalege telling us why it is important to continue to look unto Jesus. Because he says, we will become untouchable. Quoted Chronicles 16, verse 22. It says, we will become the anointed one, the one that cannot be harmed. Pastor Daramola came later on to talk about how to look unto Jesus. how we should stay focused, how we should not be distracted. Using Matthew, he gave example of Peter walking on the sea, staying focused. But the moment he became distracted, he started to sink. This morning, Pastor Bayo also gave us another how by saying that every weight that is likely to distract us from looking unto Jesus, we need to shelve it. We need to shelve it. And there have been several other teachings. Last Sunday, Professor Sumola started, "What will you get when you focus on Jesus?" And he said, when you focus on the cross where it was all sorted out, what will you get? You will get power. You will get miracle. You will get blessings. You will get transformation. All by connecting to the cross, by looking unto Jesus. And that's why that song is very apt. And let's take it again. At the center of it all is you that I see. Is you that I see. At the center of it all,
it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
There is power in your name.
Miracles happen in your name. As we lift a voice in praise, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
Today, God wants us to zero in on what do you get? What do you get? What substantively do you get if you continue to look unto Jesus? One thing that the Bible has taught us is that instead of doing a daily shopping of gifts from God, of presents from God, all that we require is to actually get the presence of God. The presence of God in our life. Because His presence bring all presence. Can I repeat that? God's presence bring all presence. Everything that you want, so long as God is with you, everything will come along with it. And so if you like, the title of today's message from God is, His presence is key. His presence is key. We simply need to hold on to God's hand and let Him lead us as we navigate the turbulent sea of life. Oh, life is challenging and turbulent. I don't think anybody needs to preach that to you. Anybody needs to preach that to me. Look at Nigeria today. Things are definitely tough. Things are definitely challenging. Things you don't expect, things you don't imagine are happening. I remember those days, school truancy, or things we hear. You go to Mama Put, you go and eat, you don't have money. At the slightest opportunity, the woman who owns the place not looking, you run away. So over time, those who sell food have perfected the system. You can take amala from one person, but when you want to take soup and meat, that is where you will pay. You have to pay before you go and eat. People were generous before. You will eat. And it's only after when you are leaving that you will pay. People run away. Do you know what? Can you imagine that somebody will walk, drive into a petrol station, fill the gas, pretend as if they are bringing money from their wallet or their card, and zoom out of the petrol station. Full tank. It has happened. In fact, the other one that was like magic. In fact, I thought when I saw that one in the video, I thought it was a skit, or what do they call it? Is when somebody got down from a truck, a pickup, tainted. He got down and came to the side, not knowing that another person had already taken the wheels. And they filled the tank. The next thing the petrol attendant saw was that the vehicle moved, and the man jumped to the back and they zoomed out of the station. So the petrol attendant started rolling on the ground. 40,000. How much is their salary? Things are very, very tight. And people are devising, people who don't have God are devising devilish ways of survival. Devilish ways of survival. But at times you look at it and you say, how are we going to get out of this? Clearly, we need a father to go further. Instead of presence, we need God's presence. Because one thing that is obvious is that no matter what we are going through, when God shows up, brethren, when God shows up, all crooked ways will be straightened. All mountains will disappear. All valleys will be filled up. It says you shall not see rain, nor shall you see thunder, but your valleys shall be filled. Your valleys shall be filled. Let me tell you, let me just relay two or three stories. Happened in the past, but these are things that confirmed to me many years back, at least two of them more than 10 years back, that it is always important to just ask for God's presence. To just ask for God's presence. There was, I don't know many of us who will know, Professor Omolewa, a renowned educationist, but also a man of God. He's an evangelist. He preaches. So one day, about 10 years ago, we were coming together. We were at the airport. I met him at the airport. He already checked in. He had his boarding pass. And then we got to the call for boarding. And I was a bit late in moving to the plane. So by the time it was my turn to get on the plane, I thought that he was standing aside. They've asked him to stand aside. So I went to Prof. He was not only my prof in UI, he was also my senior in many things. He also worked with the United Nations. So I said, Prof, what happened? And he said, there has been a double booking. Somebody bears exactly my name. And these people, as at that time, they had no very good way of sorting out. So they've checked the person in, into a seat, and now they reckon that I also have a ticket, but that we bear the same name. So they put me on standby. I said, standby. Don't worry, Prof. They will take you in. So we went inside the plane. And then I was sitting at the window, so I was looking at him. I was hoping at a point in time they would let him in. But I saw that he was praying. And I was not surprised that he speaks in tongues and prays. Then they were about to close the door of the plane. They've even announced that the flight is now full. I saw a flight engineer walked in and went to the cockpit. After about 2-3 minutes, he came back and went down, and the pilot announced that the plane has a problem and that we would all have to disembark. As at that time, Prof was still standing. They said we all have to disembark and that they will call in somebody and they will repair and we would get back into the plane. So we disembarked. We stood there for about 5-10 minutes. Then they said we should go back into the building. But as we were all moving, they called us again and said we should go into another plane, which was bigger. And of course, Professor Molewa got into the plane. And as at that time, they were not looking at seats anymore. So he sat beside me. So I said, Prof, we thank God. He said, maybe you were the one who was concerned. I knew I had to get to Ibadan. I knew I was going to get to Ibadan. And when you saw me standing there, you probably should have seen that God was standing with me. I said, Prof, how did you know that? He said, I have a duty in Ibadan. Tomorrow morning, I will be preaching at a convention at Liberty Stadium. So God knew that I must be in Ibadan. That story stood with me for a very long time. When we got down in Ibadan, I said, Prof, how did you call Prof God's presence? He said, I just told him, God, you gave me a duty. And you know that this is the last flight to Ibadan. So do everything that is possible to get me there because I must perform the duty that you have given me. It taught me a lesson. It taught me how to pray. It taught me how to ask for God's presence all the time. The second story, also about 10 years ago, and I must have said this in this church, there's a friend of mine, and I'm not always, he is always even happy. He had heard the fact that I have used him to preach before, so he's always happy. His name is Tunde Odoye. He's a known lawyer. They went to, I was not there. They just told me. They went to a friend's housewarming ceremony in Ilesha. This friend built a very big house, and he had a swimming pool, but he has not completed the swimming pool by the time they did the housewarming. So there was no water in the pool, but they had the party around the pool. Tunde was not drunk. Somewhere along the line, he fell into the pool, hard surface, and broke his leg. In fact, when he told me the story, as soon as he landed on that floor, with that strength, and he had, the next thing was that he fainted. He didn't know what happened after that. The next time he remembered was when he was in the hospital. He couldn't get up. Everybody was like, so what do we do? The story was that one man went into the pool, walked into the pool, and quickly tore his shirt and asked for sticks and wrapped the shirt, shredded shirt, around the leg and asked for people to carry him, and they took him to the hospital. In Ilesha at that time, they needed to call a orthopedic surgeon. This orthopedic surgeon is in Ife, about 25 kilometers. The orthopedic surgeon came, and when he saw the leg and the way it was handled, he said he will not touch it until the next day. But he wants to see the person who did this first aid. He said, this person must be a renowned surgeon. Because if he has not done it this way, this man will have lost the legs. Brethren, up till today, we do not know who this person is. Because this surgeon, the next day he did what he needed to do and all of that, but he started begging, they started sending messages to all of us. Who brought this person to the party? Who is this person? Nobody knows. When God is present, he sends angels on assignment. He sends angels on assignment. He sends angels on assignment. So his presence, those two cases, had taught me several lessons in the past. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, cease striving and know that I am God. Know that I am God. Don't struggle on your own. Don't panic. Nigeria's situation may be very tight. Don't panic. I've said it several times here. I always like to repeat it. That what wins a fight is not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. A dog may be very small. It can defeat a bigger one. If inside that dog, there is a big fight. It's a matter of waiting you carry. It's a matter of waiting you carry. FedEx just told you, when he went there the first time, they didn't know what he was carrying. And he held on to it. Subsequently, with the right instruction, he now showcased himself. And God showcased him. God showcased him. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Let me ask you a question. Currently in Nigeria, do you feel at times that you are walking in the shadow of the valley of death? Many a times, you look at your situation when you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. When you look at what the prices of food is saying, what the price of transportation is saying, when you look at what foreign exchange is now saying, and of course, you have two children outside the country. Before, you were using friends' relation to get exchange rate at what they call official rate, 460, 380. Now, there's no such rate anymore. And they are demanding school fees. Your children are demanding housekeeping. You have to go and buy at 800. And you can't ask the children to come back. Even if you ask them to come back, you know how much flight ticket is now. School fees, house rent. But listen, no matter what you are facing today, know one thing, you are not alone. You are just walking through. You will walk through. That's what the word of God says. You don't have to stop and live in the tough times. These tough times are temporary. Oh, they predicted it might be until December before things change. Good. Between now and that December, the Bible says, I will walk through. Why? Because God is with me. Because God is with me. Say to your neighbor, walk through. God is with you. Say it again, walk through. God is with you. I encourage you, just like Brabayo did at the first service, don't fear. Don't allow fear to paralyze you in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. Because that's what fear could do. It makes you immobile. It paralyzes you. You can't even go forward. Because you are so afraid that things will not improve. But note that by looking unto Jesus, you will realize that God is with you. That he's walking beside you. You will receive strength. I say he will strengthen you. He's making a way of escape for you. He's lining up people and situation that will bring you out of this rough situation and place you on the other side with victory. Place you on the other side with joy. Place you on the other side with happiness. It will take you to a place of strength. You will walk through and you will have victory. I say you will walk through and you will have victory. Don't give up. Press on. Walk through. Begin to get a vision of your life on the other side. See yourself as more loving. Because hardly do you see anybody smiling anymore. If you even see the way people are walking now, it's like... See yourself as being able to walk with a lot of bounce in your feet. That's going to happen to you in Jesus' name. Be more faithful. Be more stronger. You will be blessed than ever before. As you are moving forward, keep looking unto Jesus. Keep looking unto Jesus. I say you will get to the other side and you will experience victory. That is the victory that God has in store for you. And that's why it's on your side. That's why it's holding on to your hands and taking you through. He's the one that takes people through even a door that is locked. He sends angels on assignment. He sends people to do you good, whether they like it or not. What you need is God's presence. Brethren, what you need is God's presence. Let's check Nahum chapter 1 verse 7 again. And I read the Message version. When I heard Professor Sumola mention it last Sunday, I dwell on it. I checked every version. I ruminated on it, and it was very, very instructive. A Message version says, God is good. He's a hiding place in tough times. He recognizes and welcomes anyone looking for help. Who does he say he recognizes and assists? Anyone. But that person must be looking for help. That's how good God is. That's how good God is. Brethren, in these tough times, you need to invoke the presence of God. You need to invoke his presence. You need not waste your time of asking for money, asking for house, asking for food, asking. Just say, God, we need you. That's what Joseph did. That's what he did. If you take that passage from verse 1 to verse 30, you will see the whole story. That's what he did. Very instructive. In fact, verse 20 to 22 captures what happens. And let's read it together. So they rose early in the morning. After they had prayed, after they had gotten instruction, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Brethren, you will be established. Amen. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. Brethren, you will prosper. Amen. Verse 21. And when he has consulted with the people, He appointed those who will sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercies endures forever. 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. All challenges in your life will be defeated. They will ambush each other. They will all be defeated. You will have victory. This is a case of a man who trusted God for victory in a crisis. I know we are going through crisis now. So all we need to do is trust God for victory. Remember, he was very afraid at the beginning of that story. Afraid that a powerful army was set to attack him and attack Judah, attack his people. You see that in verse 3. He even declared a fast and went before the Lord. He prayed for guidance and blessing. If you read verse 6 to 13, you will see how you should pray. How I should pray. Prayer is conversation with God. It's not shouting. It's a dynamic relationship. He prayed for guidance. He reminded God of his promise. Right from Abraham. Right from when the Israelites left Egypt. And this same Moabite and all of them were in that land. And that the Israelites did not attack them. But these same people are now coming back. When God, you God, when you have given us a land that you promised our forefathers. These same people are now coming back to attack us. Will you just look at them? Will you let them destroy us? Is that kind of prayer not the case now? When Nigeria is running into this crisis, can't you say that this is a land that God has given you? This is your possession, this is your inheritance, and it should not be destroyed, and you should not suffer in it? Because you have a father that owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so why should anybody deny you of food, of transportation, of movement, of income, of joy, of happiness, of fruitfulness? He thanked God for what he has done in the past and what he was going to do now. A very unique and effective prayer strategy. And then he listened carefully to God. He listened to instruction. He listened to God's plan. This is what he did in verse 15 to 17. Listen. And he got the answer. At the end of the day, he acted based on that. How do you fight an army with just singing? That's what he did. And they got victory. So, his presence, he will win a battle for you without even taking you there. The people of Judah did not even see the battle. All they saw were dead bodies. So you will not even see this crisis. You will not feel it. You will not be burned. You will not lose any of your possessions. At the end of it all, you will be fruitful. You will have victory. You will dance. That will be your reward as you continue to look unto Jesus this year and beyond. Also in Genesis 39, Verse 2 to 4, the Bible says, Lord was with Joseph and he was successful. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Remember, he was a servant at that point in time, but he found favor with his master and his master promoted him. In Exodus 33, verse 14, God told Moses that his presence will go with him and his people, and they will find rest. Didn't they find rest? They found rest. Brethren, I know you are restless at this point in time. There are too many things to deal with at the same time. But God is saying, he is by your side and you will find rest. Jesu ni balogun oko
ema se jeta foya
oluto ko wa
di Jesu yo
ma sheberu rara
eku fun ayo ni to
captain of the ship. We should not panic. Jesus is the one that is driving our boat. We should not panic at all. We should have no fear. We should be joyous and happy. Because Jesus is the head driver. No matter how turbulent or challenging the journey, he will land us safely at our destination. That is the translation of that song. Let's take it again. Balogun
oko ema se je ka fo
have his presence. We can have promotion. We can have provision. We can have protection. We can have preservation. And more importantly, we can have peace. There are two major things that we will get in God's presence. I call them the G in God. The G that is in God. The first one is grace. When God is present, he will envelope you with grace. In Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace are we saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The second G is guidance. You will be guided. Your steps will be ordered. Lines will begin to fall for you in pleasant places. Your path will be cleared. You will receive divine instructions. In Romans 8:14, it says, "For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." How can you evoke the presence of God? Matthew 5:8 talks about your mind and your heart, purity of mind, purity of heart, godliness. That is needed to be able to invoke the presence of God. He does not behold iniquity. He will not stand with you if you are on that other side. You have to be on the side where he can then look at you as a partner and stay by your side. Romans 8 verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So you must love God yourself. He is not going to stand with you if there is no relationship. If he doesn't see love, affection, devotion, commitment from your side, then he's going to stay away. God will not stay away from you. I say God will not stay away from you. And you will not stay away from God. This way of invoking God's presence is very simple. And so if you return to Jehoshaphat, you will see how it is there. You need the purity of mind, which is what Jehoshaphat used. He was afraid at first, which is normal, but he came back to his senses and went into his relationship with God and started recounting it to say, "This is how I am related to you. This is how my people are related to you." So the first thing is purity of mind. The next thing is the prayer. And then he listens to God. He trusted God, because when you listen and you get instruction, unless you trust that instruction and believe it, you will not act on it. And he obeyed the instruction. So obeying God, trusting him, listening to him, praying to him with a very clean heart, with all holiness, would normally invoke the presence of God. Let us pray. At the center of it all, it's you that I see.
It's you that I see.
Change for you. You have to key into your inheritance. So you're going to ask God a renewed faith. Ask for a renewed faith. A renewed belief. You have to throw away unbelief. You have to believe that God has done it before, he can do it. No matter what you are going through. No matter the situation. He encouraged Joshua to cross the Jordan. And they did. Your challenges may be as big as even the Red Sea. You saw what he did to that. You need a renewed faith. Ask God, "Renew my faith, O God. Renew my faith. Renew my faith. Renew my belief. Confidence in God is what you should also pray for. Ibukun talked about that in the first service. Confidence. March boldly to his throne of grace and obtain it. It's your portion. Father, give me confidence. Embolden me to know that I'm not supposed to suffer. How can I be a poor child of a rich father? How can things not work out for me? Aren't you my God? Didn't you promise me that everything will be fine? Ask boldly. Ask boldly. Then ask for strength for the journey. Ask God for the strength for the journey. He had said you will walk through. But to be able to walk through, you need strength. You need strength. Ask God to strengthen you. Ask God to strengthen you so that you are not disillusioned. You are not discouraged. You don't lose all your energy chasing shadows. Thank you, everlasting God. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We appreciate you. We say, Lord, once you have spoken, twice we have heard. We thank you for the opportunity that you give to us to renew your covenant of life and your covenant of fruitfulness with us. As we go on in these challenging times, Father, go with us. Lord, strengthen us. Build your edge of fire around us so that no harm shall come near us. We ask that, Lord, for every situation that we will be facing as we go into this new month, you will be with us. You will send angels on assignment. You will line up great and wonderful things for us, and we will give you all the glory. Thank you, everlasting God. In Jesus' wonderful name, we've prayed.